Om Gyanatimiran Tasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Tadati Shukadamayam. Welcome back. First point is, please wear tilak to the class. Yeah. As you'll find in later chapters, this is one of the regular principles of devotional service. So please do wear it. Today is the only day we're planning to switch sessions. Tomorrow we're back to normal schedule. Today we go till what, 10:15? Is that how it works? 11:15. Right, this is not going to bother me. 11:15. So our timekeeper can remind me. Who's our timekeeper? About halfway through. Something like that. We're continuing in the introduction to Nectar of Devotion. And now Srila Prabhupada is going to begin defining pure devotional service, giving Srila Rupa Goswami's definition. This is the 11th verse of Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu. Someone know the verse? That's it. Let's get it on the board. This is a very important verse. You'll all be expected to memorize this verse. Anyone who doesn't have it memorized will fail the course. Seriously. Anyabhivashita shunyam. This verse is what, perhaps you've heard this word, Paribhasa Sutra. That word has come up lately. The headline verse, the verse that tells what the whole work is about, defines the work. The fundamental verse around which the entire work revolves. This is it. Anyabhivashita shunyam, jnana karmadhyanavritam, anakulyena krishnana shilanam, bhaktir uttama. Yes. Prabhupada said this is the authorized description of bhakti or devotional service following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. Can be summarized in the following statement by Srila Rupa Goswami. First class devotional service is known by one's tendency to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, serving the Lord favorably. The verse has been very nicely analyzed by His Holiness Dandana Maharaj in Waves of Devotion in terms of the primary characteristics and secondary characteristics of devotional service. Swarup Lakshan means primary characteristics, and then the Tattastha Lakshan, is it? tastalaksha, secondary characteristics of devotional service. He says there are three characteristics that are primary. Devotional service is for Krishna, it's an active engagement, and it's executed favorably. Prabhupada gives it a very nice explanation of what we mean by Krishna. That Krishna means Krishna with his many expansions. Then Prabhupada expands it. He says that finally Krishna includes his integrated plenary portions, in other words, the expansions as Vishnu, and then the differentiated energies, the spiritual energy, material energy, marginal energy. Finally it includes everything. So Krishna means everything and includes everything. But now we have to scale back, because it's not going to be that if I'm rendering devotional service to my mom, to my mother, that's bhakti. Or if I'm rendering devotional service to my boss, that's bhakti. Or if I'm rendering devotional service to so many, that's bhakti. So finally, Prabhupada says, generally we should understand Krishna to mean Krishna and his personal expansions. Krishna includes all such expansions as well as his pure devotees. And then later Prabhupada includes Krishna's paraphernalia and his transcendental abode as objects of the devotees' pure service. So finally, by Krishna we mean Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. We hear sometimes about Devi Bhakti, Ganesh Bhakti, demigod Bhakti. But Srila Rupa Goswami said this is not actually bhakti. When we speak of devotional service, we mean Krishna bhakti. And anushilanam, there should be some activity. It's not just silent meditation. One actually has to do something. One has to do something for Krishna's pleasure. This anushilanam means cultivation. Anu means different things. Someone knows anu? Yes? Yes, anu means following. So anushilana means cultivation by following in the footsteps of the acharyas. And another meaning of anu? Anu means, but that's a different anu. I think that's anu with a dot. But there's another anu meaning. Someone knows? No. You're guessing and you guess wrong. Anu. Harirnam Anu Kirtanam. Someone knows what Anu? Anu means continuously. Another meaning of Anu is continuously. So, apratihata, devotional service should be uninterrupted, always engaged in Krishna's service. Then it's explained that there are activities, and again Prabhupada, we were talking about this yesterday, gives bhakti as a devotional service activity, not just sitting there filled with thoughts of love, but doing something for Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that that can be done with the body, with the mind, and with the words. They should all be engaged in the service of Krishna. And he explains that there are two divisions, positive and negative, pravritti and nivritti. the things we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. Things we should do with our body, mind, and words, and things that we should not do with our body, mind, and words. These are to be considered. Now, anukul, this is very important. Anukul means?
Favorably.
Pratikul means unfavorably. Anukul and pratikul, so favorably. The activity should be aimed at pleasing Krishna, and actually it should be pleasing to Krishna. Krishna should be pleased, and our attitude should be, yes, I have to please Krishna. Now, how do we understand what's anukul? How do we know it's favorable? Guru Navatar? Yes. Especially, of course, from sadhus, from Shastra, and Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in his purport to this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it's Madhulila 19.167. The spiritual master. The criterion, Prabhupada said, is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who's bona fide representative of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami advises Adau Gurvashram, one who's serious in wanting to render pure devotional service to the Lord, must take shelter of a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Evam parampara praptam Imam Rajarshayogi. Without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasada. This is the success of devotional service. This is the meaning of the word anukul yena, that is, favorable devotional service to the Lord. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. What about this first point, devotional service is meant for Krishna? Is it also meant for the attention of Krishna and the pure devotee?
Yes. Vishnu is also Krishna. Nrisingadeva is also Krishna. So many Vishnu murtis, they're all Krishna. Of course, going the other way, Krishna includes Vishnu, Narayan, Nrisinga, Varaha, Kurma. Just by serving Krishna, we're serving all the different incarnations. Or just by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're serving all the different incarnations. But then, from the other point of view, there's no difference between Krishna and Nrisingadev, Krishna and Narayan, Krishna and all of Vamandev, all of his avatars. And the devotees, pure devotees, are also representing Krishna. Therefore, they have names like Prabhupada, Vishnupada, because they're representing Krishna. Yes?
I read one book with questions and answers, one different book, questions and answers to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, when he was asked if service to Vishnu was pure devotional service, and he said that it was usually starting with the material motives with the good, and one is worshiping Vishnu. It is because one has material motives only with Krishna, it's pure devotional service. Is that?
Well, this is the trouble with so many books, you know, you don't know who edited the book, who, you know, where it was taken from. There are so many people who are worshipping Krishna, and it's not pure devotional service. You know, they have a deity of Krishna, and they're praying to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, please, you know, I need money, I need this, I need that." So, it's not that by definition, service to Narayan is material, and service to, or materially motivated, and service to, otherwise what are the people doing in Vaikuntha? In Vaikuntha, you mean to say they're mixed devotees? But they're up there for some, you know, to get an American green card or build a house or something like that? They're all pure devotees. But their attraction is to Lord Narayan. And of course the standard of, we discussed that yesterday, with Krishna, all the different relationships are there, and there's a standard of love that's not found even in Vaikuntha, the kind of loving dealings that are found. We don't find even in Vaikuntha. But the Vaikunthavasis are all pure devotees. And some of the devotees of Krishna in the material world may not be. You know, they're reciting Bhagavatam and doing Krishna Leela or Krishna Kirtan, and it's to, you know, to maintain their families, fill their bellies. So I can't say, you know, I certainly don't want to pick a fight with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but I don't know what this book is.
I can try and find the book, but I was really surprised when I read that it was.
Yeah, this is the trouble with you know, these books. That Prabhupada told us one time that anything published after such and such date, we should avoid Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writings. He said, because, you know, they just did so many things. Editors. So after such and such date, Prabhupada discouraged us actually from reading it. Brahma Sangita encouraged us to read, but so many books, he said, why do they want to go out and buy all these books? They can't even understand my books. How will they, what will they get? Yes.
Well, yesterday while reading, I was quite surprised actually about the choice of Prabhupada's words, which are usually so precise and kind of sharp. And then here, when it's coming to this point of just love Krishna and carry our devotional service, pure devotional service only to Krishna, first there is this statement that Krishna is actually everything, and everything is included in him. And then Prabhupada saying these words, generally, however, we should understand Krishna to mean Krishna and his personal expansion.
Hmm.
So this generally, however, we should. I mean, this.
That's very clear to me. I think it's good words. Means from one angle of vision, you know, if you get way up there, then Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Or Sarvakalavidam Brahma. Everything is spirit, everything is Krishna. You know, so then by, you know, anything and everything is non-different from Krishna. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagadavi. So that's one angle of vision. But generally, however, we should have a little more focus here that, and distinguish. We know there's no difference between Krishna and anything else. At the same time, we know there's some difference. Not that I'm Krishna. Although Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Aham Atma Guru Kesha." I'm the soul within the body of every living being. There you have it. Everyone is not different from Krishna. Everyone is Krishna. But if we walk away only with that understanding, we'll have a misunderstanding. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is oneness and difference. So generally, we should observe that difference also and focus here that Krishna means the personality of Godhead, Shyam Sundar. And not you, me, and everyone.
I listened to one lecture from Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, and they're quoting Prabhupada, and also said that one patient, they actually, to some extent, by loving exchange with other humans, we can understand our relationship to Krishna, and we can understand, understanding human life, we can understand to some extent also Krishna.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that Krishna is an ordinary human being. Or that because I love my wife, I love Krishna. You know, my wife is part and parcel of Krishna, therefore she's not different from Krishna. But it's not that because I'm head over heels, madly infatuated, you know, obsessed with my wife, I'm, you know, the highest Uttamadhikari devotee of Krishna. There's some distinction there. So the devotee has to have that discrimination. In one sense, Krishna is everything and includes everything. And still, from another point of view, Krishna's Matsthani Sarvabhutani and Ashaham Teshvavastu. I'm in everything, I'm everywhere, and still I'm not there. Goloka Nivasati Akila. He's pervading everything, but still he's in Goloka. Otherwise, you know, pure devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, he was throwing himself in the ocean. He was seeing that Krishna's in the ocean. He's seeing Krishna in the sand dune, seeing the sand dune as Govardhan Hill. He's seeing Krishna everywhere. But that we shouldn't imitate.
My intention is also more going in this in practical application of this philosophy. I mean, loving exchanges amongst humans, is it just Maya, or can we?
Are loving exchanges among humans just Maya? Are they? If they're connected, well, everyone's connected with Krishna.
Directly.
It's not that because I love, you know, this person or that person, that's Krishna consciousness. But service to, when they're Vaishnavas, and when I serve them in a particular way, that's Krishna consciousness. Even, you know, some girl, she's a Vaishnavi, and she looks so beautiful, and she smiles at me, and I try to make her happy by saying sweet words to her. You know, that's not that's a manifestation of love of Krishna. Right? We know this is lust. And not that because she's got tilak and neck beads that now all of a sudden it's, you know, pure devotional service. But when there's, even within Krishna consciousness, the husband and wife are united, they're serving Krishna, he's serving, doing service for her, assisting her in her Krishna consciousness, she's doing service for him, assisting him in his devotional service, then that's a, you know, legitimate arrangement by which the service rendered is going to Krishna. Otherwise, you know, when I'm breaking the regulative principles with my wife, that's not devotional service. That's not counted as devotional service to Krishna. And we'll learn that in these early chapters of Nectar of Devotion. What's devotional service? What's not devotional service? Otherwise, by making everything devotional service, then there is no devotional service anymore. Right? Everything's devotional. Maya is now devotional servant. Okay, time for some fun and games. Divide up into groups of, say, four, and your assignment is to come up with some examples of service that might seem anukul, but is actually pratikul. Okay? And you can make up the examples, or you can take them from ISKCON history, or ISKCON current events, or something you've seen out there where someone... Okay? Get together and come up with a few examples, good ones, you know? Some real sterling examples. What seems like it might be anukul, but is actually pratikul. Clear? Just any, you know, get together with the four people nearest you, make little clusters, and you have like 5 minutes. Strict about how many people in the group. If there's 5, we won't kill you. If there's 3, it's all right. And each group can have a spokesman who will report to us. So we're hearing about some examples of things that seem to be anukul, but are actually pratikul. And I guess we can use this board to put some of them up and you can do just, you know, the headlines. Who are our spokesmen for that side? Who's the spokesman? Okay, Krishna Pipa.
Okay,
may I
have a
Okay, some male devotee is becoming the shiksha guru of a female devotee. And devoting a lot of energy to the project. Okay, good. Another one. Yes. Remind me your name?
Tribhuvan.
Okay.
Ritvik.
Yeah, the whole Ritvik business. They're doing great service to Srila Prabhupada. By blasting all the leaders of ISKCON, by distributing obnoxious literature, by initiating so many new disciples of Prabhupada. Why is it pratikul? Shruti, Smriti, Puranani, Pantra, Shabdindana, Vaikantiki, Harir, Bhakti, Pataya, Nukul. Doesn't follow Shastra, it's simply a disturbance. Good. Yes.
In history, there were so many holy wars, like the crusade, or like even nowadays, all this terror going on in the name of God, with a good intention, but actually just killed.
Okay. Terrorism in the name of God? Assuming that that's what's actually going on, of course. For the record, we don't share that worldview, but accepting that worldview that all these terrorists are running around doing things in the name of God. Yes?
Jnana. I want to become relevant, but not devotional service for my purpose.
I want to become very learned, but it's not really for devotional service, it's for my own amusement or edification outside of the service of Krishna. Good. Some others came up, yes? Oh yeah, the whole Sahajya Sampradaya, where they love Krishna so much, but they're doing every kind of obnoxious thing. Yes.
Fanatical book distribution.
What does that mean, fanatical book distribution?
It means in the mode of passion, without understanding, without our own understanding of the matter which is the book.
Well, we have to take a look at that a little carefully before we say, well, fanatical book distribution, like in such and such zone, whether it's all pratikul. I would question that. I would question that, because our founder Acharya considered book distribution to be the most anukul activity. He considered that distributing books was the very focus of our movement. And when devotees would go all out, when they would sacrifice their personal comforts, when they would put other things aside and distribute books, he expressed great pleasure. And he never, to my knowledge, considered it unacceptable that this person distributed a book, but he really didn't understand the book so well, so that's not good. He wanted us to read the books and not just distribute them. But I never heard from Prabhupada that, you know, these people have given so much energy to distributing books, but what is the use? So there may have been other things that were awry, things that were not proper or not in balance or neglected or not considered. But to be fanatical, you know, what is fanatical? Fanatical means extremely devoted. You know, a Muslim fanatic, from our point of view, from the Muslim's point of view, is a person who's extremely devoted to Allah. You know, a fanatical pujari, from one person's point of view, is a person who's very strictly follows the standards of deity worship. So, you know, we can take this fanatic word, and we do take this fanatic word, and we throw it around, and as soon as a person's a fanatic, well, that's it, you know, he's dismissed. From that point of view, our whole Krishna consciousness movement consists of fanatics. You know, there are people who've neglected their careers, neglected their education, neglected comforts, neglected their country, neglected their so many things, cut their hair off, and dress in pink bed sheets and all this kind of stuff. You know, they're obviously fanatics. And, you know, and not only that, all day long, Krishna, 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 Krishna. You know, that is fanaticism. But what is fanaticism? You know, it's concentration or devotion. So we can throw these words around, but we should be careful when we hear these words. Book distribution per se is not pratikul. And even intense book distribution is not pratikul, and in fact it may be super anukul. So you want to define more carefully what you mean. And then sometimes later, you know, we say, oh, you know, as a fanatic, we were both in the fanatical days when we were, you know, distributing all those, you know, just books, 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 and we were getting up at, you know, 4 a.m. and, you know, just following all those, you know, I mean, not even, you know, 4 regulative principles, like strict, strict 4 regulative principles. You know, we were such fanatics. And now, you know, we're... So we have to be a little careful what we're talking about. What is it that was pretty cool there?
Yeah, my point is that those devotees who are distributing books, another point actually, those devotees who are distributing books are not anymore practicing Krishna consciousness.
And there's a whole lot, I can show you tons of the world where there are people who are not distributing books and are also not practicing Krishna consciousness.
Mm. My point is that many devotees feel like that.
But feeling is not what determines whether something is pratikul or anukul.
Yeah.
You know, I used to feel that I should, you know, strictly avoid holy substances that elevate your consciousness. And now, you know, I understand that this is part of Vedic culture. Is that okay? Yeah, I was such an uptight fanatic. Now I've loosened up and I've, you know, I mean, I'm more human. I've come to terms with who I really am. I'm more living a more you know, on a level that's more natural for me. Puff a day keeps the doctor away. I mean, is it just that we go by feeling? We have to be careful when we analyze. There may have been things that were not right. But just to say, all that book distribution.
I was thinking maybe on the personal level, it's undeveloped, you know, for them themselves, it's, and you know, they just didn't understand. They didn't understood, you know, the cultural that they did it in was, you know.
Well, that's a different thing. Maybe the consciousness was not sufficiently developed. Or maybe it was nicely developed and they later lost it. You know, we have to, there are different possibilities there. But just to say, oh, you know, dismiss everything. I mean, you go take a country now, Germany. Simple example that comes to mind, where there's hardly any book distribution. And it's super anukul. The devotees are, you know, like, you can hardly find one. And they're in absolute desperation for money because they're not fanatically distributing all those books that used to bring in lots and lots of money that paid for the temples and paid for taking care of the devotees and paid for the deity worship and paid for it. They're not fanatics anymore, but everything's falling apart. You know, so what's, is that anukul now because everybody's, you know, more natural? And you know they're not fooling themselves, and they're, you know, they realize that whatever it is they realize, is that our point here? I think we need to be very, you know, just when it comes to these questions, really go down into them, and you know, not just have a slogan. Oh yeah, the fanatical days of book distribution. We certainly don't want to go back to those fanatical days when all the conditioned souls were receiving books, 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 and books. And all the distributors were distributing books, books, and books. And the spiritual master was, you know, so happy to see the books distributed and Prabhupada's desires were being fulfilled. We wouldn't want to go back to those days, would we? You know, so if something was wrong, we should pinpoint more precisely what it was that was wrong. And not, you know, throw, as they say, the baby out with the bathwater. Srila Prabhupada considered the distribution of his books to be extremely anukul. Something else? Yes, Krishna.
Could I just put Krishna in a different argument? Just suppose somebody has distributed his book and they keep all the money themselves. It's good as a business to maintain itself. How does that count?
Well, the fact that the book distribution is going on is very anukul. And the fact that he's keeping all the money is a little pretty cool, isn't it? Or as we say, I'm cool. From another angle of vision, sometimes we find that devotees distribute books and then they go away, and then later they come back by the force of all that service that they did. There's one devotee here now who's just, you know, he left book distribution after being very prominent in book distribution and went out and made a lot of money and was living, you know, very affluent, comfortable life, and woke up one day and said, what in the world am I doing? You know, I want to get back to Krishna consciousness. So arguably, all the credit of that service of so many years of distributing books comes back. I was not here in Vrindavan one time, and there was one devotee who'd been a very big book distributor, and then he left devotional service, and then he came back and he was dying, and he came back to Vrindavan. He passed away in Vrindavan actually. He was just simply remembering all the experiences that he had distributing books, the devotees he distributed with, how people had responded, the things that were in the books. More than one, in fact, there's another book distributor, because somehow or other he came back to Vrindavan in his last days. So Svabhamapyasya Dharmasya Jayate Matodhya Paya. We should be very careful about knocking the value of this particular service that Srila Prabhupada considered so valuable.
I mean, I'm assuming when we're talking about, oh, someone distributing books, keeping the money, it's pretty cool. I'm assuming that's a situation where they're brahmacharya in the temple and they're being supported and it's understood they're supposed to give. And I'm assuming that doesn't apply to, like, some householder who's working a job and says, I'd like to earn a little more money, why don't I start doing books on the weekend?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Prabhupada considered that householders could keep something. Not that they take the books out of the temple storeroom and then, you know, sell the book for 20 and pocket 20. But sure, if they take something for their personal expenses, family expenses, by distributing books, Prabhupada considered that very good engagement. And in fact, you know, if a householder could do just that, Prabhupada thought that would be very nice. He even recommended to his own son, you know, so many people are distributing my books, why don't you distribute your father's books and make money?
Did he do it?
Something.
He also had the same point when he was brought up that Prabhupada, he said that we should cooperate and he appreciated all the services done in his son. Not only book distribution, but he also appreciated good life, he also appreciated...
Pardon me? Pardon me? He appreciated food for life? Well, just as a matter of history, there was no food for life. Food for life started sometime in the 1980s. There was no food for life.
Prasadam distribution, let me rephrase it.
You
appreciated distributing prasadam to the masses of people.
Yes. Prabhupada appreciated prasadam distribution.
But the point is that some devotees, they choose to glorify their own service, do this own service very intensely, and glorify that service as being anukul and neglecting and not seeing the service others are doing, seeing that this is less important, and this becomes also like a kind of practical problem. He did tell that all services are important, and if one is working like a machine, every part is required.
Yes.
You know.
That's also there. Prabhupada said the person who's cleaning the temple room is as good as the editor of Back to Godhead. So it's not on the absolute platform. Every service is as good as every other service. That's a fact. And yet again, Prabhupada sometimes emphasized some particular services as being extremely important. And book distribution happens to be in that category of a service that Prabhupada, you know, beat the drum for, you know, bang the gong for again and again and again. If you look through all of Prabhupada's teachings, if you look through the books, through the conversations, through the letters, you know, this particular service Prabhupada considered to be extremely important. In fact, he wrote to one temple that you can leave one person behind for the deity worship, and the devotees can take prasadam, you know, in the morning and then go out and distribute books all day. Just leave one person behind for the, you know, and they had a whole crew of pujaris. There's a big temple, you know, I think Chicago Temple. Prabhupada said, leave one person back for the deity worship and send everyone out distributing books. So, from one angle, again, it's, you know, everything is Krishna, then everything is distinct. From one angle of vision, all service is equal. And we shouldn't minimize, oh, you're only doing deity worship, and I'm distributing books. Or you're only doing this, and I'm doing that. That's unfavorable. Pride is not favorable for devotional service. But then again, in Prabhupada's mission, there are certain features that Prabhupada really, you know, put in banner headlines so you couldn't miss them. You know, in flashing lights so you couldn't miss them. And this was arguably right up there at the top of the list. was this distribution of literature. Following the four regular principles was, you know, right up there. Prabhupada had these two sides. You've seen that diagram. The bell is there on one side, and some deity worship, paraphernalia, and on the other side, Mridanga and the Bhagavatam. Because there's Pancharatriki service, following the regular principles, and then there's Bhagavat Mark, preaching. Prabhupada gave a lot of importance. He said both are required, but of the two, Bhagavat Mark is given more importance. And on the Bhagavat Mark, the Bhagavatam is there, and the Mridanga is there. So our book distribution is Bhagavatam. Our book distribution also, Prabhupada said, was the big Mridanga. It's the greater Sankirtan. So it's good for us to have that. It's not that because our leaders were in Maya, they were pushing book distribution. You know, if anyone's thinking that, kindly disabuse yourself of that misunderstanding. If our leaders were influenced by Maya, that's another thing. But directing their followers to distribute books was not Maya. It was very much pleasing to Prabhupada, very much what he wanted us to accomplish, very much favorable for the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, very much very merciful to the conditioned souls of this world. It's extremely, extremely anukula. Okay. Anything else that's practical? Yeah, different kinds of cheating. Prabhupada said a pure devotee may do these things. But for the less advanced devotee, this is not very favorable. For a pure devotee on the highest platform, these mundane considerations of this belongs to him and this belongs to him can disappear. But if we all start behaving like bandits, while we're neophyte devotees, then we'll just create the wrong mentality, cultivate the wrong mentality in ourselves, and bring our movement into disrepute. So our standard should not be theft, larceny, extortion, and so on. So that's, yes. Okay?
We're supposed to have a break.
Yes, okay, let's take that break. 5 minutes. Yeah, five. You only have to go we're only going until 4:15. So you have, subtract the 5 minutes and you've got 18 minutes more. You're not getting more than five. 10:57. Break. We're moving onward to Tatastha Lakshan, the secondary qualities of pure devotional service. First, there's Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Srila Prabhupada says, any desire except for the service of the Lord is called material desire. Shunya means?
Zero.
All other desires should be shunya, zero. From that point of view, we're also shunyavadis. No other desire but devotional service. Dhanadhar Maharaj has a nice discussion here that that abhilas means desire, and with this suffix ta, it becomes the quality of desire, the having essentially a motive. And he gives the example that one can have a personal desire and still not be out of the realm of pure devotional service, as long as that desire is not an integral part of one's nature. For example, suppose a devotee who's dedicated his full energy to advancement in devotion is suddenly put in a life-threatening situation and he calls out, "Krishna, save me." That's not a desire for Krishna's pleasure, it's a personal desire for self-preservation. But it's not an integral part of the devotee's nature. It's a superficial, fleeting desire. It's not a motive. So it's not considered anyabhilashita. It doesn't exclude one from pure devotional service. Any questions? Yes? Is that in every case? It doesn't mean now we extend that and say, you know, all my material desires, they're just, you know, superficial. So I'm really, you know, on that platform of anyabhilashita shunyam. May not be anyabhilash, but it's anyabhilashita. Don't worry about it. It's okay. No, it's not a, you know, a blank check now for unlimited material desires. But, for example, we're chanting, Prabhupada's chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Pahima, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshana, oh, material desires. No. The coward boys were also saying, oh, Krishna, please save us. But that was a superficial thing. The essence of their whole life is service to Krishna, desire to please Krishna. Anya vidashita shunyam. And what is that anya? Anya means something else. Abhilas means desire, abhilasita, some other motive. And what are those desires? Jnana karmanya navritam. Avritam means covered. And anavritam, not covered. By jnana and karma. Adi. Adi means etc. Where you see this adi, it usually means and so on. So jnana, karma, or Prabhupada translates lots of times, headed by jnana and karma. Jnana means? Knowledge? We shouldn't have knowledge. Knowledge is bad for you. Yeah. Speculation. Does that mean no thinking? No pondering philosophical questions? No M-I-H-E? Are we in Maya here? What's the story? Class?
So the more this way that the means that we're using jnana to come to the ultimate goal, actually, and that we put our faith in jnana, not in bhakti.
Yeah, that's unfavorable. But specifically, Prabhupada explains, and I don't have it right in front of me, yes. The ultimate end of philosophical speculation must be Krishna, with the understanding that Krishna is everything, the cause of all causes, and that one should therefore surrender to him. If this ultimate goal is reached, then philosophical advancement is favorable. But if the conclusion of philosophical speculation is voidism or impersonalism, that's not bhakti. Krishna said, Bhavanam Chandmanamante, Gyanaban, Mahaprabhu. After speculating and speculating, finally, Krishna is everything. Let me surrender. That's favorable. And if he comes to some conclusion, I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, everything is Krishna, I'm moving the sun and the moon, that's not favorable. No? Jnana means particularly, yes, also just becoming a jnani, collecting a lot of books and knowing a whole lot of stuff and collecting degrees. But specifically when my speculative powers lead me down the road towards some impersonal conclusion, then it's very unfavorable. Otherwise, by thinking philosophically, increasing my appreciation of Krishna, that's favorable. And karma? What is karma?
Activities.
activity? Is that activity unfavorable for devotional service? Huh? Fruitive activity. What's fruitive activity? What does this word fruitive mean?
I expect something from.
Yeah, fruitive means to enjoy. It comes from a Latin word that means to enjoy. Fruit. Activity aimed at enjoyment is fruitive activity. Or material activities. Ritualistic activities. Karmakandiya section of the Vedas. Even pious activities. Do we consider pious activities to be pure devotional service? If someone is opening a hospital, someone is giving blankets to people who have no blankets, he's helping the mentally disturbed, he's doing, you know, so much welfare, philanthropy and welfare activity. Is that counted as pure devotional service? No. And if you think that doing that kind of work and chanting Hare Krishna is on the same level, what is that? Namaparad. To think that Shubha Kriya, you know, pious activities and Harinam are on the same level is an offense against the Holy Name. Prabhupada said someplace, what is that? In renunciation through wisdom? Hold on a second, let's see if I can get this. Kind of cool. Wasn't thinking of this before, but since it just came to mind, let's see. Here it is. Hold on one second. The neophyte Vaishnava's ringing the bell even once during worship of the deity of the Supreme Lord is a million times more valuable, spiritually and otherwise, than the charitable fruitive workers building many hospitals, feeding thousands of the poor, or building homes, or even the empirical philosophers, Vedic studies, meditation, austerities, and penances. The Mahatmas have shown the perfect path of charity, devotional service to the Lord. If anyone ignores this path and instead builds hospitals, his effort to help humanity is a mere pretense. Humanity can never reap any permanent advantage from such activities. Indeed, the number of patients only increases along with the number of hospitals. And as for feeding the poor, this will never eradicate poverty, but encourage it. Frankly speaking, we are not against opening hospitals or feeding the poor or any other such humanitarian service. But what we have learned from our beloved spiritual master is that when devotional service to the Lord is neglected, every other activity is illusory and futile. Without genuine devotional service, even opening hospitals and feeding the poor in the name of Lord Krishna is futile. Spiritual groups that do not strictly follow in Lord Chaitanya's line cannot comprehend this because they do not wish to abide by the instructions of the Mahatmas. They do not follow Lord Chaitanya's injunction to be more humble than a blade of grass. If they were that humble, they would give up their pride in being the doer of good deeds, the wisest person, the most devoted, and so on. So, jnana karma adhyanavritam, the tendency to be a jnani, the attraction of being a man of knowledge is very powerful. Or the attractions of some philosophical concoction by which you can become God. Powerful. And the attraction of being a great philanthropist, of helping people. It's powerful. People would rather be very learned, very altruistic and philanthropic, than be engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord.
Raj, I actually kind of have two questions about this verse. One is, are these two lines, these two thoughts, are they, cause I mean, I've always had a hard time separating them. They seem kind of overlapping, like,
which
desires, they would be gyan and karma, these last two lines. Like, so are they meant to be kind of covering the same idea, or are they really two distinct kind of things?
Well, it's all together. When you look at anyabhilash, material desires, jnana and karma are certainly right up there at the head of the list. So that we don't want to pick everything apart and say, well, this is one thing over here and this is another thing over there. We may analyze things and pick it. Just like you analyze a muscle and say, well, this part of the muscle is this and this is something else. But when you look at it together, you say, well, it's a muscle. That tendency to overanalyze can be there. At the same time, to separate things into their constituent parts can sometimes be useful. But yes, these are material desires, definitely. This is anyabhilashita, jnana, karma, adi.
I found actually in the Ways of Devotion a nice summary of this verse. Devotional service needs only involve the nine activities of hearing, chanting, and remembering. Anything else is extraneous and could become impediment to pure devotion.
What page are you on?
It's 34, right in the middle, third paragraph. That there's only like this nine activities, pure devotional service, and there could be
nine activities, not just hearing and chanting.
Yeah.
Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving.
Yeah. These nine activities, and there could be some extras which will not disturb it, but they can become a disturbance.
Anything else is extraneous and could become an impediment. Tanagar Maharaj writes. Yeah. It's not that we want to be engaged in... We may be engaged, for example, if a householder has to make some money. But if he becomes overwhelmed with making money and forgets to chant Hare Krishna, forgets to hear the glories of Krishna, forgets to remember Krishna, forgets to serve the deity, he forgets all of these things and simply becomes engaged in making money, that becomes pratikul. Otherwise, he's hearing, he's chanting, he's doing everything, and he's also performing his duties as a householder to earn some money. That's anukul. Yes, Nadine.
The other question was, now jnana and karma, I mean, they're sort of, it seems like a more gross form, but now as devotees, like my hunch is, there's some more subtle forms that we need to be watching out for, because I'm not chanting, going, I want to be part of Brahman, or, you know, like, maybe I'll get a big house. Like, I mean, I think usually we're trying to, you know, we're trying to sincerely avoid this, but what are the more subtle forms that we should avoid?
Well,
watch out for?
That's discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, because we're running short of time, we're not going to be able to go into it now, but you keep cleaning, and you keep finding more. Okay, I'm not doing, you know, I'm not going for a mundane PhD, but I've got, you know, a big stack of books here, and aren't they interesting? And, you know, and my spiritual master is wondering about why the stuff he gave me to do isn't getting done, but, you know, all this is so interesting. So it can go on like that. While we're on anukul, what's favorable and unfavorable, and we said what the spiritual master says, that's favorable. And we talked about food distribution. So just since it's a thought that sometimes comes to my mind. This is to Giriraj Maharaj while he was president of Bombay Temple, 1972. So far, prasad distribution, it is not a question of rich or poor. That will be karmakanda. Our program, therefore, is that we offer prasad to everyone. Make our temple so nice that everyone who comes is offered some prasad. Not that we are after poor men. It is not that we are feeding, it's nice that we are feeding 200 daily, but gradually try to increase. But do not advertise, we shall be self-advertising, and do not go to the poor areas. This is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is prasad distribution without discrimination, rich or poor. There was another place where Srila Prabhupada instructed, do not go to the emergency spot. We should distribute from our temple. And that's what, you know, that was the program that Prabhupada had going that he asked us to increase. This prasadam pavilion down here, I don't know what's going on now, but in Prabhupada's time it was specifically meant for feeding the local people profusely with prasadam every day. That should be the program. Temple means there's kirtan, there's lectures, there's books, knowledge, there's darshan, and there must be prasadam. Very important part of every temple. There must be prasadam. But not that because there must be prasadam and it should be distributed profusely, now we're meant to be Red Cross or the St. Vincent Paul de Paul Society or Bharat Save Sangha or one of these, you know, uplift the poor outfits. There are so many organizations for doing that. If we give up our work and do that, are they going to give up their work and do our work? If we go out and feed the poor, are they going to go out and distribute Srimad Bhagavatam? So anukul means in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master. I'm not going to take questions because we're going to run out of time. There's one more. Well, all right, I'll take the question and run out of time. Go ahead.
You can go another 10 minutes, all
right? I can. Ooh, luxury. Go ahead.
What about the difficulty that sometimes in our society happens that Sankirtan devotees are distributing, you know, some other things like candles and something which was like money was meant
pratikul,
for Krishna.
Pratikul.
It was meant for Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada saw this. One of our leaders started distributing records, you know, books. Okay, now that they know how to do books, people are attracted to records. Prabhupada considered it bad. He considered it bad. Now, I don't want to get into every program and say, oh, this person's... But as a general principle, when Srila Prabhupada saw that we were diverting our attention from distributing books and now distributing so many other products and the money's going to be used for Krishna, he was against it. And retrospectively we can see that in so many instances like that, well, now I'm a salesman. Before I was a preacher, I was distributing Bhagavatams. Now, you know, Krishna inspired him to take a candle, you know. So now I'm basically a salesman, and since I'm a salesman and I can sell anything, then the next stage is, why am I giving a cut to these people? And so our spiritual life degrades. We just become distributors of, instead of being distributors of mercy in the form of transcendental knowledge, we become businessmen. And the public receives the mercy in the form of, you know, stuff. So Srila Prabhupada advised us against this. And again, he was beating on this drum. Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. You'll get money. People will get knowledge, you'll get inspiration, all good things will come from distribution of books. It's not our problem that we haven't distributed enough books or that we used to be, you know, we had the wrong idea, we were so much into distributing books. That's not our problem. It's not our problem at all. If we have a problem, it's that we're not enough focused on the value, not enough persuaded of the value, the importance of this mission of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Okay, since I have a dispensation that I can go over time, we won't go very much over time. There's another verse that you also have to memorize unless you want to fail. And Srila Prabhupada doesn't directly quote it in Sanskrit. But it's there, Narada Pancharatra. Someone know the verse? Narada Pancharatra, definition of pure devotional service.
Sarvabhadi vinirmukam tat parasvinam yamaram shishin kimina shishin kimisha svinam.
That's it. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam, one should be freed from all upadis, false designations. And Jiva Goswami says that sarvapadi vinirmuktam equals anya vilasita shunya. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam and tatpratena nirmalam. Nirmalam, he says, equals jnana kamradi. Nirmalam means nothing else. Tatpratena. Tatpratena equals anukulyena. Tatpara means dedicated to Krishna. Tat means Krishna. Tatpratena. He's simply dedicated to Krishna. Sarvopadi vinirmukta. Free from all this, I'm this body nonsense. Sarvopadi vinirmukta. Tatpratena. Nirmalam. Rishikena Rishikesha Seva. He engages his purified senses in the service of the master of the senses. Bhakti, this is pure devotional service. But this also is an important verse that we ought to know.
It's in the handbook materials.
Okay, it's in the handbook materials.
Page 18,
huh? Otherwise, you can find it in almost any one of Prabhupada's books. It's heavily quoted. Okay, yes.
Sometimes the word is they say you get the disease, and if it's not proper, then actually the person who says that you get the disease, you take the actions.
I'm sorry, I couldn't follow.
Sometimes the authorities, they say...
You have to do something.
Yeah, you have to do something.
Okay, you're thorough.
It's not proper.
You think it's not proper.
Yeah, and they say, if it's really not proper, then the reactions...
I'll take the reactions.
Yeah, the authority will take the reactions.
Well, there's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. If everyone is second-guessing the authority, then you don't have any authority anymore. If every corporal, every sergeant, every private second guesses the general, says, you know, he's asking us to march north, that's crazy, we ought to be marching east. You know, if everyone in the hierarchy said, well, you know, that's a stupid idea, I have a better idea, I'm not going to do that, then your discipline goes to hell. Your organization goes to hell. There's no organization where you can just have everybody at every level of the hierarchy, because every organization involves a hierarchy. There's no organization that works when everyone says, those guys up there don't know what they're talking about. We know what we should be doing. And a good organization has lines of communication where the guys on the lower end can communicate with the guys on the higher end and say, you know, up there it may look like that, but let me give you a report from the ground. Okay. You know, it looks that way to you, but this place is swarming with enemy, or whatever the case may be, or swarming with opportunities, or whatever it is. Now, that doesn't mean that you do anything and everything. Yeah, because your authority is totally bonkers, and you're totally mindless. So any, you know, degraded thing that he tells you to do, you're now prepared to do, yes sir, yes sir. But in normal affairs, all right, you know, it's not what I think we should do, but that's what the authority said to do, so we do it. That's normal, you know, normal running of things. And you put your thing in the complaint book, or you give your advice, and if it doesn't fly, then you say, well, told him anyway. And later you'll have the pleasure of saying, well, I told him so. And sometimes if it's really egregious, you know, he may go over the person's head. You know, you really think he's doing the wrong thing, and you go to the, you know, right up there past your captain, past your lieutenant, right up to the general, sir, you know, they're doing this. But that's, you know, that's not for every case. This is just ordinary organizational. Affairs. It's not particular to devotional service. But generally, in any society, in any organization, in any confederation of human beings, there'll be higher, you know, the wife. If the wife is always second-guessing the husband, you're not going to have a very happy marriage there. Even if she's right. You know, if she's smart, she'll know when to be right and keep her mouth shut sometimes. You know, because it's better to be married than be right. But there are times when she can legitimately say, you know, under no circumstances am I going to do this. You know, this is not what we got married for. This is not within devotional service to Krishna. And I'm not going to do it, no matter what. There are times when she's in a position to say that. But that's not within normal everyday affairs. We hope. Okay, so normally we follow the authorities, and when there's something really extraordinary, you know, when all the lights start flashing and the bells start going off and the alarms start ringing, then. Okay? We are definitely over our 10 minutes also. And in fact, the next class comes in 3 minutes, so we better clear out. Tomorrow, you can save it, and tomorrow you can ask me. Thank you very much. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada. Are you helping me out again today, Tati? Okay.